Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 6th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, absolutely brilliant. And what are the great peaceful solutions we have at our fingertips? Welcome to Liberty Roundtable. As you know, hour one on Saturdays, we do our best to talk about news the networks refuse to use. It is the Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. So we cover a lot of stuff on the broadcast. It's amazing how much we could talk about during the week, much less recap in a single hour. So we might as well just get started. Believe it or not, the Jussie Smollett case was in the news last Saturday. Jussie Smollett was nominated for an NAACP Image Award. Prosecutors in Illinois sparked outrage by dropping all charges against Smollett, but at the same time, they believe still that they say he staged a hate crime against himself. See, but I think he staged a hate crime not only against himself, but against the whole nation. And I don't really believe in the term hate crime at all, because it's thought police involved in a hate crime. Every crime is a hate crime. You think you love somebody, so you steal from them? You think you love somebody, so you rape them? Or you love somebody, so that you assault them? Or you love somebody so that you, I mean, how many crimes can you commit? How many of them would be considered kind or loving or gentle or whatever, respectful? Come on. All crimes are hate crimes by nature. So this added twist of hatred on top of it as a prosecutable offense, in my opinion, runs into very, very scary, strange territory. It violates the rights of an individual. It violates the idea of due process. It violates the principles that make America great. Okay? And the sad part about this is, even if somebody has evil intentions more than another person, you get into this idea, where does premeditated versus not come in? How much planning was done? You know, those things have some reality to them because they strengthen one's intent, but not by thought, but by action, right? In other words, if it's premeditated and somebody for years has been, you know, reading documents on the internet to put together a narrative of violence, if somebody gathers, products well in advance, and puts together a very laid, detailed, written out plan. Okay, these are things that demonstrate actionable intent to do something. That might strengthen the argument of an intended crime or an intended action, right? But at the same time, if you're not very careful, you cross the line into the thought police. And that's the problem that I have with this. Look, Jussie Smollett had a lot of premeditated details to his crime. There's no doubt about it. But he didn't commit just a hate crime against himself. He took that to the whole nation. And what he tried to do is divide the nation on race. He tried to specifically call out Donald Trump supporters. He tried to attack white people. He tried to say white people have committed an atrocity against me intentionally. And by the way, it was not only the white people, it was the evil Donald Trump white people, the Make America Great Again people that were. And so I submit to you, this is a very serious crime. And I can't believe they not only dropped the charges against him, but now Jussie Smollett was nominated for an NAACP Image Award. Now, he didn't get it, and he kind of walked out like a little brat. But nevertheless, how do we have this double standard in America? I mean, if it was anybody else that was white or that was a Donald Trump supporter or anything, if they did this, there would be howls for their head. And I, you know, normally we talk virtually speaking, I think it would be literal. They would be after this person like you wouldn't believe. Anyway, I bring it all up because, wow, now Jussie Smollett, latest news tidbit on him. The city says, hey, we're going to sue Jussie Smollett to get $130,000 of investigative costs back. Jussie says, if you do that, I'll force testimony by all kinds of people behind the scenes on this thing. In other words, we'll find out who was involved with me. And believe it or not, I would like that exact thing to happen. Look, I don't believe Jussie acted alone. This was a massive conspiracy hatched by more than Jussie. It was hatched by Jussie and the two black African brothers or something that helped him. This was covered up by the cops and the hospital for a while. Look, the cops looked into it for a couple of weeks and still didn't have a handle on the story, right? I mean, they literally let this narrative run as far as it could run. Something wrong is going on here. But I don't think we'll get to the bottom of it, folks. Nothing but rhetoric. What a sad tale to tell. All right, we talked about Mexican drug cartel drug operation. Got busted in Minnesota, say the cops. So now you got Mexican drug cartel drug operations in Minnesota. Quite far from the border, huh? The border crisis, ladies and gentlemen, is a national crisis, a national issue. It's not just at the border that there's tough stuff going on. It's literally way into the interior of the United States. What, busted in Minnesota? I mean, you're getting up to what, the opposite border? Serious, serious concerns. But the mainstream press just goes against the Donald and won't admit to how bad it really is. President Donald Trump renews his threat to close the Mexican border. That's what he did last week. But again, it's nothing but rhetoric. It's nothing but a threat. Now he says, well, hey, the Mexicans are cooperating and helping out a little bit. We're not going to close the Mexican border. This is getting to be a sad tale where Donald threatens and promises and says and just babbles at the mouth on things, and nothing ever seems to happen. So now Trump cutting off all foreign aid to Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. Last week, that was the claim. Is he doing it now? He'll probably try to cut off aid, and then the courts will overrule him, and then it'll be a non-issue, and it'll be just this continued waste of time battle and argument over this, right? We're going to close the border. Oh, I guess we're not. We're going to cut off foreign aid to these three countries. Oh, I guess we're not. Over and over and over and over. I mean, it's an absolute shame, folks, what we see going on here. I know President Trump might mean well, but I'm starting to just believe it doesn't matter if he means well. There's nothing good going on here. There's nothing productive happening. There's nothing that can move the needle towards the greater protection of the American people here that I can see. The internal strife and internal battles are enough to bring this nation to its knees, internally speaking, folks, if we're not very careful indeed. All right, Senator Mike Lee of Utah did a great job. Real climate change fix is to promote marriage, the family, and to have children. This was a great, in my opinion, a great job by Mike Lee, really highlighting what a lot of the solutions are in America. And his comments, his speech that we played last week was so good, right? It was so good that I actually took his speech and cut it down into a radio commercial. And I thought I'd just play that commercial here so everybody knows what I did. Right after the show last week, I just said, hey, I'm going to bust out and create this. So I created a radio commercial based on the speech. I cut out pieces, put it all together. Here that is.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Fall in love, get married, and have some kids, says Senator Mike Lee for the state of Utah to the whole Senate. He was speaking to the president, not the president of the United States, but the president, meaning the speaker, and the president of the Senate there. So there you have it. It's not the Speaker of the House, I should say. It's the President of the Senate. So there you have it. I mean, you know, Mike Lee doing a great job. And I really believe a lot of times we want to solve everything politically. But I think the real answers, the real solutions aren't political at all. They're in the family. Ladies and gentlemen, the family is God's ordained fundamental unit of society. And I know you hear that all the time on this program. But let me ask you this. How many programs do you listen to that you hear that in? Yeah, not very many. A lot of the Christian programs do that. I'm not against Christian programs. This program is as Christian as it gets. But this is a secular program, right? The other ones are you know, evangelical broadcasts. And I'm not downing them. They speak to a lot of people and do a lot of good. But I guess I'd like a broader context. We need to share this message. I don't know what you want to say. Beyond the church. Beyond our own flock. Beyond our own choir, whatever you want to term it, we need to share this message, and people really need to double down and say, well, you know, hey, I'm not as religious as you are, Sam. Maybe so. It doesn't change the fact that God, family, and country are the only ways we're going to fix America. God, you know what? Use the scripture as our text. The two great commandments and the Ten Commandments is our guide. Family, look to the God-ordained traditional family, a husband and a wife raising children to God. Even when families aren't perfect, people standing together with one another with trust and fidelity and faithfulness to one another. Right? That was that was the Saturday show. Monday coming up, but I want to commend Mike Lee for his incredible speech. And he is spot on when it comes to the solutions. I'm Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? It's very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up, and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song, and will you listen to
it? Our next eldest daughter came to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation. And he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family. Isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, this is Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review, ladies and gentlemen. We covered a lot of broadcast time, I'll tell you that right now. Our guest on Monday was Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org. We talked about, have you seen the movie Unplanned yet? Incredible movie. Even though it's rated R, Abby Johnson, that's one of the stars in the movie, a girl that was really an abortion promoter. An abortion mill director literally coming to her senses and saying, whoa, this is evil. This isn't what I signed up for. This is wrong. She kind of got groomed in the colleges for that position. But thank heavens she saw the truth. And now she stands up and explains to the parents of America why the R rating. You know what? It's pretty violent. It's pretty graphic. It's pretty bloody. It's pretty brutal. But it's necessary for people to understand what we're doing to the most innocent among us in our society. So then we talked about, is Twitter censoring anti-abortion movie unplanned? Website denies account tampering after conservative outrage. Now, when they say they deny account tampering, the fact is they did shut down the planned or unplanned movie details for a little bit. They say that it was a glitch and unintended. But again, how come all the conservative things, how come all our side of things gets shut down and tampered with, but the liberal side never, never does? The double standard is in your face, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we then moved on after talking about that incredible movie, Unplanned. It is in the second weekend of the showing, first in 1,059 theaters, now in 1,700 theaters. So hopefully we can keep an eye on the ball and track that. It cost $6 million to make. They've already made $6 million back in the first weekend. Double estimates or expected numbers. And so now the second weekend with almost double the theaters. So it ought to turn out pretty well. I hope they get another $12 million or so. I hope they can at least triple their money on this thing. And every penny can then be plowed back into making great movies to help people understand the principles of God, family, and country, the protection of life, liberty, and property. That's what this is about, folks. All right, anyway, we then moved to Hunger Games. 4 years of Saudi U.S. aggression in Yemen. I mean, it is horrible. The Senate trying to rein in the president on some of this stuff. Nevertheless, time will tell what happens, but I think it's all a big old game. You know what? Different branches of government continually act like they're the responsible ones. They're going to rein in what they know to be wrong. They're going to hold others accountable to the Constitution. But it seems to always be just, oh, one group will take their turn, and then the next group will take their turn, and then the next individual will take his turn or her turn, but nothing ever happens. We just continue on this same hostile, pro-death, pro-war trajectory, I should say. And we just seem to continue on that road. But I'll tell you this, though. A representative, guy's name is Ro Khanna, or K-H-A-N-N-A, Khanna, or whatever it is. Anyway, this representative calls for a bipartisan coalition to work with Trump on ending foreign wars. He says, I think we're all on the same team as Americans. I couldn't agree more. Now, I don't know. I don't think I agree with Ro on much, but on that, I sure do. It's important to really work together on this, and I hope somebody can get a coalition somewhere to do something. Please, people, please. All right, we talked about goodbye to internet freedom. We need more on this topic with Lowell Nelson because he brings up some great, great topics and commentary and details. Look, we're losing our internet freedom left and right, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, Twitter literally claims they're not tampering with accounts or tampering with the unplanned people's Twitter, but it got temporarily turned off, then they turned it back on. You've got, you know, people being shadow banned. You've got search engines literally blocking content that would come up from normal searches. In other words, wordsmithed. Well, let me say it differently. Responses to words. In other words, they're wordsmithing, filtering, controlling the outcome of your searches to bring up what they want it to bring up. Goodbye to internet freedom, folks. That's happening right now in America. And the sad part is the conservatives are really not doing much about it. There's a few people doing a couple of good things about it. Dennis Prager suing YouTube, and a couple, there's a few people doing a few things, but not much. For the most part, we're losing our internet freedoms before our very eyes, and we don't seem too worried about it, I guess, as conservatives. Fox News host Jeanine Pirro is back on the air. That's good news. But everybody's a racist. They say she's promoting a racial agenda. So again, there's this double standard with the conservatives. They're just in trouble for everything. Second hour, we had our guest on, Mr. Scott Bradley. His goal is to preserve the nation. He has an incredible homeschool curriculum that even highlights this agenda. It's a DVD and book series. It's an educational curriculum. It's called To Preserve the Nation. You want to get a copy of that, or you want to learn more about Scott Bradley, or you want to watch his incredible weekly webinars, all things Constitution. He breaks down constitutional discussions like no other. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. That's freedoms, risingsun.com. And we talked with Scott Bradley about the Saudis who took part in Jamal Khashoggi's murder were likely trained in America, ladies and gentlemen. That's a fact that appears to have damaged relations even further between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. This is a scary scenario, folks, because look, I've mentioned to you forever, we train, fund, and arm groups all around the world. And oftentimes, that training and those arms and that funding falls in the hands of enemies. And oftentimes, friends of today are enemies of tomorrow. And we continue to be the biggest arms dealer in the world. We are a pro-war people, or a warlike people. We have got to stop this, folks. We have got to follow the Prince of Peace. I get national defense. I understand. But national defense isn't us involved in 130-plus nations, militarily speaking. It isn't us being the biggest arms dealer in the world. It isn't us training and funding wars. I pray we don't get involved more in Venezuela. But every day I see that going worse as well. Our prayers are that we could be a peaceful people. Donald Trump to GM and to the UAW, United Auto Workers. Get the dang plants open, Donald says. Donald, that's a great idea. But you're not going to get the plants open when these people can't compete in America. There's too much regulation in America. There's a lack of infrastructure for parts and things that are needed. There's the unions that ratchet up the costs of hiring an American employees, et cetera, to the point where you can't compete, Donald. You say, well, we're going to slap tariffs on the borders to make a level playing field. That's a great idea. And it's a constitutional reaction, President, and I commend you for talking about it. But unless you really literally double down and give people the whole picture, you're not going to get it done. The whole picture is we're going to reduce taxes on the American people via the income tax, via the property tax, via all these unconstitutional, immoral 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto taxes. And we're going to have tariffs at the borders instead, not in addition to. You got it instead. So if you reduce taxes on the American people's tax or American people or the taxpayers' backs, you'll gain ground. But you can't just add tariffs without reducing taxes on the other side of the equation. Or Americans feel like now I'm taxed to death. I'm regulated to death. I can't compete because there's unions everywhere. And I'm forced into them by government regulation. And now we're going to pay more for our cars too. Donald, it'll never work like that, my friend. You're right. We do need tariffs at the borders. You're right. It would create a level playing field. You're right. It would justly, appropriately allocate who should play in the greatest economic engine in the world. Reward the good guys and penalize the bad actors. It's a great concept. It's a constitutional concept. But as long as you continue to have the property taxes and the income taxes and the sales taxes and there's taxes on everything. Entertainment taxes. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Unless you reduce those on the American people, you're just dinging us harder, Donald. I know you don't mean to, and I commend you for at least highlighting a constitutional option to generate legitimate, necessary government revenue. But you've got to not only reduce the taxes on the American people and shift it to other nations. You got to do that. But you've also got to reduce the taxes and the regulation on the American people. And if you don't do that at the same time, all it amounts to is greater regulation and greater abuse. Truly. And so I appreciate what President Trump is trying to do, but I think it's going to be a failure. Because you just cannot keep all these taxes in place that I mentioned and then add to that greater cost for things that people can't afford it. Look, 50 years ago, one person, the father, could work and support his family and do quite well and prosper. Nowadays, it takes a husband and a wife to work side by side, both of them full time, leaving little time for the family. And they struggle to keep up, folks. Half of it, at least, is taxation and regulation.
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
House Democrats have filed a lawsuit against President Trump as they try to block his declaration of a border emergency to use Pentagon funding to build a wall at the southern border. On Friday, the president visited the border at Calexico, California.
Close to 400 miles done within about 2 years.
He was describing an enhanced border wall as he met with immigration agents. He's alleging that many of those at the border claiming they need asylum are fakes.
The gang members, and they say, I fear for my life. They're the ones that are causing fear for life.
The sale of high-capacity magazines is stopped once again in California. A judge has granted an injunction while the state appeals the lifting of a 20-year ban. The same judge threw out the state's ban on magazines last week as infringing on the Second Amendment. This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, healthcare, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your healthcare. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
While the president was visiting the border in California, a group of congresswomen went to a federal detention center in El Paso, Texas, that's housing those who have crossed the border. Democrat Bonnie Watson Coleman.
I have been to a refugee facility in Jordan. And I tell you that there are things that I saw here today in the United States of America that were worse than what I saw in Jordan.
Health officials are working to identify the cause of an E. coli outbreak that sickened dozens of people in five states. 72 have been infected with E. coli 0103. The CDC says the investigation is still ongoing and officials have not yet identified a specific food item, grocery store, or restaurant chain as the source of the outbreak. Meantime, health officials in Florida say two people have died amid a hepatitis A outbreak in Martin County. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. We talked about Lyft. That's the car group, right, that competes with Uber. Lyft gives almost exclusively to Democrats. That's right, and that's to be expected. You know what? They all get money from different groups, and, hey, you got big donors behind both parties, but, hey, the swamp monsters get all the money. The real patriots on either side of the aisle or either party, they don't get money. Okay, you got Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders raising a ton of cash. You don't see constitutionalists or Americans who set aside the swamp and who really want to see true less spending and true reform getting any money. So are you surprised when they play the partisan game? Oh, the Democrats are getting all the cash, the poor Republicans. Well, what do you expect? Guys who don't create companies that back conservative causes, except for maybe the Koch brothers or a couple of people that are, you know, backing the swamp as much as they're on the conservative side, right? Adelson, some of these people are like that. But I don't see any difference. But again, when you say, oh, they give exclusively to Democrats, so that means the poor Republicans are just on the chopping block or the... Okay, it's all bogus, folks. It isn't true. Republicans have plenty of cash. GOP launches House Energy Action Team to counter the Green New Deal. So now you feel really good. You got the Democrats creating the Green New Deal. You got the Republicans creating the House Energy Action Team to fight it. Look, they've been cranking up environmental Green Deal solutions under Agenda 21 for decades. Republicans and Democrats alike. You think the Democrats are really going to fight this? It reminds me of the healthcare fight, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely propaganda. The Republicans aren't interested in getting rid of your healthcare government control. Republicans and Democrats alike for decades have been promoting healthcare in government. They just want their own brand, but they both want control. To prove it, the Republicans had control of everything and failed. They didn't get rid of Obamacare. Now Donald comes back right after the scandal of the Russia collusion thing falls on its face after 2 years. And Donald says, we're going to work on health care now. And the Republicans internally said, no, you're not. We're not doing that till after the election. And Donald forced to back away. So his own party, the swamp monster leadership, literally shut him right on down. And it's interesting, it's in the exact state that Rand Paul's in, right? He's got shut down by what, the Senate leader, Mitch McConnell? Mitch said, we're not dealing with health care till after the 2020 election, Donald. Donald may or may not even be around then, folks. Who knows who will be around? Who knows what the landscape will look like? It's kind of like saying we're not going to deal with this till after the House elections. And now things are much worse for the Republicans because they lost the House. See, they're wasting time and the battles. This isn't a Democrat problem. This is a Donald and Mitch see things completely different issue. Or maybe they think it's the same and they're playing us for fools with a Hegelian dialectic. I don't know. But I'll tell you what I do know. No one's moving the marker for liberty forward that I can see. Our prayers are that they can make a difference, but I'm not seeing it. How about you? I know this sounds like a pretty negative hour. But man, when I look at this thing, I don't really see us moving forward in faith, moving forward with Mike Lee's suggestions or Rand Paul's suggestions or even Donald Trump's suggestions for that part, that matter. All right, on Tuesday, we talked about unplanned to fight all odds. Opening weekend, the true story of former Planned Parenthood director Abby Johnson climbed the number 5 on the box office charts, doubled the numbers expected. The film in 1,700 theaters this weekend, 1,700. We talked about Disney banning all smoking at parks. Wow, no smoking at Disney. And our response is, I'm not really interested in using force to shut down the smokers, but I agree that when my rights begin, your rights end, and vice versa, right? So I'm not really for smoking places because the non-smokers are forced to breathe that in too. At the same time, I'm not really for shutting down by government mandate smoking. But at the same time, you know what? Disney has the right with their private property to choose as they will. So I personally like them banning smoking at all parks. If I had a park, or I had a theater, or I had a store, or I had a restaurant, I would ban smoking in my facilities, my private property, and I'd have every right to do so. All right, we talked about Verona, Italy. A great job. They were the hosts to the 13th World Congress of Families, WCF, bringing together family groups from around the globe. It was tremendous. And I don't see anybody in the mainstream press really covering it. But the Congress on Families doing a great, great job in Italy. I just wish more people were willing to talk about it and support it and help focus on it. Because I believe, like Mike Lee, that's where the solutions are, folks. More so than political, more so than talk shows, etc., etc. All right. Anyway, second hour, we had our guest on Tuesday, Mr. Patrick Simmons. National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, righttowork.org is the website. And we talked about, do you live in a right to work state? If you don't, I hope you do soon. There's more states that are right to work states than not nowadays. That's good news. And they talked in testimony in Washington, D.C., current labor law, that's nationally speaking, promotes forced unionism and is antithetical to American values of free speech and free association. A Washington, D.C. testimony or speech. Incredible job by righttowork.org. I commend them. Great work. We also talked about the right to work really means the right to work for less, says the Washington Post. These people are up in the night crazy, folks. Yeah, you could say that you work for less money, but you also work for less regulation, less taxation, right? You can negotiate for your own needs and wants at work, not have somebody do it for you. And believe it or not, studies say it's not really working for less. Actually, you make more. I'll give you an example. Let's say that a union puts wages out of the realm for business for autos in America. The United Auto Workers ratchets up time off and pensions and pay and all these things that go into true compensation numbers. And a plant decides we can't take it anymore, and they move from a northern state to a southern state to escape the unions. In other words, they move to a right-to-work state. Which is better? The jobs in the plant in your state, or better in another state where there's less government control and regulation and forced unionism? Make matters worse. What happens when that plant leaves the United States altogether and goes to Mexico, because they don't have that in Mexico at all? See, you got to just look at reality, not look at the Washington Post lies, folks. I'm telling you right now. Anyway, we talked about the National Right to Work Act. NRTWA doing a great job. We pray that's successful. Rand Paul and others pushing for it, and we hope they gain ground. But right now, again, it seems to have enough co-sponsors to be real, not enough co-sponsors to push it forward. So it's kind of stuck in that limbo, just like all good things seem to be. Congress doesn't seem to act on the good, proactive things for some strange reason. All right, would you like that wafer or Whopper? With or without beef, huh? The Impossible Whopper is what it's called. It's a no beef or no real meat Whopper. It's fake meat. But experts say they can't tell the difference. But they say that it's, you know, safe and good for you to eat this fake meat stuff that they've created. I don't agree with them. You know what? Whenever we try to replace God's things with man, man's solutions as opposed to God's solutions, it goes off the rail. We act like it's the panacea, the Holy Grail. And then before you know it, we go, oh, we spent the last 30 or 40 years promoting this big time and regulating around this big time. And then at the end of the day, we go, oh, maybe it's not such a good idea after all. Breast implants are the greatest, latest Food and Drug Administration failure example that I would point to. But they haven't tested this fake meat to say that it's good for you and safe and, okay, the Impossible Whopper. We don't have evidence that it's safe and okay over a long term. How do I know? Because there's not studies out about that. There's just the government telling you that it's okay and good and fine and right. But down the road some in 10, 20, 30 years, we'll go, oh, we blatantly rejected real meat and we put in this fake meat and, oh, it has these, well, repercussions we didn't really realize that it had. It's kind of like how they promoted mammograms and all these other things, you know, tests for males on prostate. And then they're coming back going, well, I guess that's unnecessary, after they've literally made billions, possibly trillions of dollars on that altar, huh? We talked about another loss for Alex Jones. Alex Jones now claims psychosis made him believe Sandy Hook was staged. Poor Alex, our prayers are with him. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman with the Week in Review broadcast on Wednesday. We talked about the state fines couple $4.1 million for putting a gate on their own property. It's considered a constitutional sham, writes WND.com. Court resurrects fight over confiscated church land. It's good they cranked up the fight. It's bad that so much private property is being violated on the idea of government control, regulations, or eminent domain, or the list goes on and on and on and on. From the couple that's fighting because they put, believe it or not, a gate on their own property, to then this court resurrecting this fight over church land. You got government out of control, stealing property and violating private property rights, fining and eating out the substance of the people. I mean, this is Declaration of Independence-esque. Where it's like, what's the purpose of government if they run around and just murder babies left and right, run around and violate property rights? That's life and property. Where's liberty in the middle, you might ask, huh? Now, I don't mean to make the case more negative than it is, but we need to realize that we better stand for these principles of morality. And if we don't, the government's just going to mirror society and just run amok, turn its back on God, and pretend that it's the new God. Is it the political idol? I pray no. But I'm starting to think the answer's yes. We talked about Donald Trump, believe it or not, saving Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat for Amy Barrett. Now, she's the very pro-life Catholic judge. I pray that it's successful. I hope Donald's doing that. I wish he would have put her in long ago. As opposed to these yahoos that we put in. You say, well, Sam, they're going to make the difference. No, they're not. I don't see them promoting pro-life at the bench at all, do you? All right, people are raising a lot of money for politics, I'm telling you right now. $18.2 million in 6 weeks puts Bernie Sanders in the lead, they say already. I know it's early, but man, that's a lot of money too. We talked about Clapper. Obama is responsible for Russia collusion probe. Well, why weren't we told that a couple of years ago before we wasted a ton of money? There's so much political capital that's been wasted on this. It's an absolute flat-out distraction to the nation. All right. California, Lawrence Livermore. Scientists can now create 3D printer with potential to print living organs. That's the claim. Do you believe it? I don't. Look, technology is great, and there's a lot of good technology coming out, but you know what? Technology takes forever to implement and to become mainstream and or ubiquitous. It just does. I know things are coming to fruition faster in some ways. But think about the video phone, for example. I heard in the like mid-70s that, hey, we're going to have video phones. It's going to be incredible. Just don't answer the phone naked was the joke, right? Now, video phones are commonplace with FaceTime and Skype and Zoom and many other conferencing programs and utilities and such. There's no doubt it's everywhere. But how long did it take? From the mid-70s to now? 80s, 90s, 105s, 115s? Over 40 years, folks. Right? And we see things happening faster, but again, technology takes a long time. How long will it be till drones deliver to your house? How long will it be till these autonomous vehicles are really roaming the streets? Oh, I know they got tests out there doing it, but how long will it be till it's commonplace? How long will it be till Ubers roam the streets and you just simply get an Uber and jump in and you're taken to where you want to go completely autonomously? This stuff is a long time in the making, folks. Mark my words. All right, Pentagon, listen to this carefully. This story is fascinating. Pentagon to beat Uber and Tesla in race over self-driving vehicles. Part of the reason that it takes so long for technology to come to fruition is, look, Tesla and Uber, two private companies, have to compete with the Pentagon, with government. See, this is the regulation and the manipulation and the wow. The subsidization that occurs. Pentagon is going to beat Uber and Tesla in the race over self-driving vehicles. So how do you want a Pentagon vehicle just running around, taking you everywhere, delivering all your goods and services and such? You're comfortable with the Pentagon doing that? Remember, those are the war people, folks. Those are the people that have spent forever in bed with the courts and former presidents to spy on me and you and then lie and claim they're not. And then when they get caught spying on us, it just gets codified by others in government, by the swamp, right? The question is, will most cities see driverless cars replace light rail? Many experts think so. And my response is, this is what I'm talking about. Governments for decades have put money into light rail, telling us that's the solution. It's government transportation. Go look at your 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. They shouldn't have it at all. But now they're going to basically turn on a dime and say, oh, now all these light rail transportation systems that we've literally spent billions of dollars on, and now we're saying, hey, driverless cars can replace all that? Well, then why do the taxpayers, why were the taxpayers forced to fund this stuff for so long? See? I mean, it's one bad technology after another. And how many, I mean, if we got too many cars on the road with drivers now, how will it be when there's cars on the road without drivers? You know, it reminds me of this idea that we're going to basically force corn to be used for gasoline, right? Biofuels or whatever. And then pretty soon you're going to be able to drive around in your car starving. Actually, your car will drive around with nobody in it while you starve, using corn fuel and driving around waiting for someone to use the car. I mean, at some point, this meddling by government has got to stop, folks. It's crazy town. Right, we talked about sad tale in the Buffalo, New York airport. Chick-fil-A got banned. Why? For, quote, anti-LGBTQ rhetoric. So it's gotten to the point where Chick-fil-A can't even have their opinion. The leaders of Chick-fil-A, because, you know, companies don't really have opinions, do they now? But anyway, so they got banned from the Buffalo airport over this, quote, rhetoric. I mean, I'm telling you, it's getting bad in America. The thought police are just out in droves. Right, we talked about GM executives closed an Ohio plant despite concessions from U.S. workers. The workers said, we did everything the plant owners wanted, but it was still not enough. And I go back to the point that I had right before the bottom of the hour break. I said, Donald, you can raise tariffs at the border, but too much regulation, too much taxation, too much costs, too many unions that are forced to where, you know what? It's breaking the backs of these companies. And I know Donald's trying to step back from a lot of that. And I think he's right on the discussion points, but he's missed the boat. What he's saying is great, but it's not enough and not fast enough. So people, if you naively believe that, hey, you're doing everything the plant owners want will make the difference, it won't. They just can't compete here and they have no choice because of American policy to go elsewhere. Do you get it? Do you read me, people? But again, everybody's just going to complain and run around on the jobless line wondering what happened because no one's connected in America that have conservative viewpoints to stand together and get something done. The liberals eat us alive. All right, second hour on Wednesday, we had Becky Akers, our guest. She's the author of two incredible books. One's called Hailstorm, and the other one's called Abducting Arnold. Check them out today. We talked about you deserve to know. Where does your representative stand on stopping infanticide? It's a great point. I want to know where my politicians stand on this. But I also don't understand why they're too busy just trying to find out where people stand in the legislative arena, when the truth is the pro-murder agenda, nicknamed infanticide, so we don't realize how murderous it really is. We're letting murderers run around and behave this way while we supposedly discover how our legislators feel. I mean, it is crazy, folks. For example, the Maryland assisted suicide bill dies. That's great news. At least somebody's doing something to stop the pro-death agenda. For God and country, I could sell an abortion to anybody, writes WND.com. They're not saying they believe that. They're highlighting those liberals who do. See, we use abortion or infanticide or, you know, RU486 or all these nebulous terms to define our pro-death agenda. We need to call a spade and rise up against the pro-death agenda and stand for pro-life, ladies and gentlemen, for the young and the old and the disabled and the babies, everybody. Teen Vogue, for example, declares the idea that the body is made male and female is wrong. So look, Teen Vogue literally thumbing their nose at God and saying, even though God says he created us male and female, Teen Vogue declares the idea flat out wrong. God's wrong. Teen Vogue is right. Wrong. See, that's the lies we're being told, and the media just continues to perpetuate this stuff. It's crazy. All right, since 1982, the U.S. government has been basically killing cats in their research programs, and now they're going to stop killing cats. That's good news. Maybe we can get them someday to stop killing the babies too, huh? Larry Klayman says, quote, as predicted, Senator Lindsey Graham admits that he will not prosecute and or pursue Hillary Clinton scandals. We're telling you that Lindsey Graham is a flat-out fraud, says Larry Klayman, and I believe he's right. This is where Donald said he was going to lock him up, and Donald's changed his mind too, hasn't he? What a tragedy. Right, in airliner seatbacks, we talked about cameras. Yeah, don't worry. The airlines say, yeah, there's cameras and microphones in the seatbacks now, but don't worry. We don't have them on, and we're not monitoring you. Uh-huh. Kind of like Donald Trump isn't monitoring us. Kind of like former presidents George Bush and crew haven't been monitoring us. What a shame, folks, and how dishonest. Google says their microphone's there, too, but it's not on. Well, how many microphones are not on? But then we find out later, well, they were on. Wow. Criminal activity and no accountability. We talked about these cow toilets in the Netherlands aimed at cutting, quote, emissions or emissions from cows. I mean, just crazy environmental stuff, folks. Whacked out as all get out. I guess there's a Florida business owner found of millions of dollars in food stamp fraud. Well, how do you get rid of the food stamp fraud, ladies and gentlemen? You get rid of government food stamps in the first place and leave it to the churches and to the private sector. All right, on Thursday, we had our guest, Brian Rust, and we talked about honest money. Sam educates on the reality of the proper use of constitutional tariffs at our borders. Alyssa Milano storms Georgia legislature. She says, these are the men voting on what goes on inside our uteruses. Wow. And Alyssa Milano, her Georgia boycott letter grows to over 100 signatures from Hollywood elites. See, the liberals put their money where their mouth is, folks. Ben Carson talks about a clear-cut evidence of Facebook advertising platform discrimination. Ben Carson's right as rain. We also talked about MSNBC's Chris Matthews warns of 1972 Nixon repeat with far-left Democratic candidates. We also talked with our guest Joe Bannister, former IRS agent, about his new book, agentfortruth.com is the website. The book is called Investigating the IRS, Income Tax, a report to the American people, doing a great job. We talked about in Tijuana, tons of murders. It's the murder capital of the world. We talked about the Mexican government cracks down on smugglers' trafficking of humans in southern Mexico. We pray that's true, but I doubt it. Comprehensive annual finance report. We talked about that. The biggest shell game for theft in this world's history.